good afternoon. It's a pleasure for me to be here to present at IPHA. It's a very important forum for us in public health, and it's an honor for me to be part of this intelligent group of people and to represent my agency, the Mississippi State Department of Health, and the state of Mississippi, which is not too far away from here, and it's usually not that cold. I'll talk to you about hospital discharge data and the use of this data for identifying, measuring, and mapping of chronic comorbidities. And this is one of the projects that is ongoing in Mississippi using this data source. And it's a very important project because as many... Try to figure out, okay, just to move my presentation. It is a very important topic for all of us in the developed world because people don't die anymore so much from chronic diseases, from infectious diseases, and yet at the public health level, we don't pay much attention to chronic diseases. We are still stuck in trying to control infectious diseases, but we are doing very little about controlling chronic diseases. And across the United States and in Mississippi, public health agencies and healthcare providers face the health-related cost and the financial cost of chronic diseases, including chronic comorbidities. And in addition to increasing morbidity and mortality, coexisting morbid conditions impact healthcare delivery since they lead to frequent readmissions and to increase healthcare costs. And a little bit national statistics. In 2010, approximately 26% of all American adults had multiple chronic conditions, including 1 in 15 children. The same year, around 66% of total healthcare spending was directed toward care of the approximately 26% of Americans with multiple chronic conditions. In 2011, the national health expenditure reached $2.7 trillion. This is the amount of money that, you know, my brain does not comprehend. I don't know what this is. I'm coming from Bulgaria, from Europe. I don't think we can reach anything like this if we take Turkey together, the entire countries around. No, it's just an amount that I cannot comprehend. It's 18% of the GDP. So that's why it's so important for us to study these conditions. And why there is an urgent call for building chronic disease monitoring systems and chronic disease surveillance programs, there are challenges. And the first challenge we face, especially at the state level, is the positive chronic disease data sources. We don't routinely collect chronic disease data. We do collect chronic disease data on HIV, on West Nile virus, you name it. We don't routinely collect this kind of data. Right now in Mississippi, we use two main sources for monitoring chronic conditions, behavior risk factor surveillance system data, which is self-reported survey data collected by CDC every year through telephone interviews, and vital records data, birth and death certificates, which is actually mortality data. The morbidity data we have is a hospital discharge data, and we only recently have started to implement this data for such monitoring. The second challenge we face is access to existing valuable source of data. Within the health department, we have trouble accessing our own data systems through all kinds of bureaucratic regulations and impediments. We also sometimes don't believe in valuable data sources. One of the questions I often face is, can we use administrative data such as hospital discharge data or insurance claim data to study clinical conditions? And the truth is that before becoming administrative data, hospital discharge data was clinical information and it was medical record data That was called as ICD-9. What we have to do is go back, reverse this process, and try to get that clinical information from these codes. And I hope that to show you how we did that in Mississippi. The other question and the other challenge we face is, how do we study and monitor chronic conditions? Unlike infectious diseases, and I was an infectious disease doctor, in chronic diseases, there is no a case definition. There is no classification system that is accepted. Unlike infectious disease, where we know anything that's caused by viruses, bacteria, or fungi is infectious disease, here there is a huge diversity. Traditionally, the focus has been on studying chronic disease, individual high prevalence chronic conditions such as diabetes, stroke, congestive heart failure, and this is a very valuable approach. However, this approach does not allow for comprehensive monitoring of all chronic conditions, capturing of chronic diseases-related disabilities, accounting for mental health problems, which are chronic conditions, and evaluating chronic comorbidities and multiple chronic conditions. Why, at the end, we have to apply all these different approaches and study chronic conditions as a group, individual clinic conditions, and chronic comorbidities as well. So it is a complicated process of monitoring. Hospital discharge data, the process of collecting hospital discharge data started for Mississippi in 2010 after 2 decades of fighting for this data to be collected. And Mississippi hospital discharge data present a cost-effective and evidence, which is very important, evidence-based way to study both index diseases and chronic conditions. Why? And these are the characteristics of this data. It is an extremely valuable, extremely rich data source. What does this data contain is primary and secondary diagnosis, primary and secondary procedures, demographic characteristics of the hospitalized patients, such as age, race, ethnicity, and gender, location, patient's location, very important, very valuable information. We have information about the state of residence, county of residence, zip codes, including the physical addresses of patients. We can map this data very well. Information on insurance companies. We have information on private, public, including self-pay patients within this data. Hospital resource utilization, we can calculate length of stay, and we have information on total charges. Hospital and physician information, as well as it's not mentioned here, but we have admission status as if the patient is admitted routinely, or transfer and discharge status, including in hospital death, which is a very important outcome. Currently, and that's worth mentioning, currently 47 states across the United States collect hospital discharge data. And these states supply their discharge data to a national database system. So we have a national hospital discharge data system in the United States that is widely used for medical research. The specific objectives of these studies was to establish comorbidity levels and patterns in hospitalized patients in Mississippi, to measure hospital resource utilization for these patients, to determine patient demographics, to review geographic variations in the comorbidity burden, and to conduct a comparative analysis of patients having major comorbidities and those without such conditions. And I don't want to bore with the public with all the boring statistical analysis that were done, but the algorithm that was used to measure the number and the weighted scores of the comorbidities, the Carson-Diok Comorbidity Index, this index was developed over 2 decades ago by Carson and colleagues as a predictor of mortality among chronically ill patients. Later on, other researchers, but the one that you see here is the adaptation, has adapted this index for use with administrative healthcare data and ICD-9 diagnostic codes, This algorithm has been validated for use with hospital discharge dates. Only secondary diagnoses were used for calculating the comorbidity burden and patches, meaning that the principal diagnosis, which is the condition that is established to be the main reason for hospitalization, was not included in this analysis. Mean scores were compared with t-test, and chi-squares were used for comparing categorical variables. The data, we used 3 years of data from 2010 to 2012, and the study included only Mississippi residents. Patients who were hospitalized but were out of the state were not included in this study. A little bit more about the Carson-Diab comorbidity index. As I said, it is based on a risk adjustment algorithm based on, it's based on 17 major chronic conditions. Not all chronic conditions are included in this comorbidity index, and the table shows the ones that are included. These conditions were included because they are predictor of mortality among chronically ill patients. Each condition is assigned a score or weight that is proportional to the disease relative risk of death or severity of the illness. For example, diabetes without complication would have a score of 1, but diabetes with complications would have a score of 2. AIDS, which is an infectious disease in nature but a chronic condition, has a score of 6, and metastatic solid tumors also have a score of 6, which is the highest score. Therefore, this algorithm allows for computing both of weighted scores and number of comorbid conditions. Comorbidity burden. In Mississippi, during these 3 years, there were over 1 million hospitalizations. On average, every year we have around a little bit less than 400,000 hospitalizations in Mississippi, and we have less than 3 million people. So that tells you something. 45% of all hospitalizations had a comorbidity score of 1 or greater, 25% had a comorbidity score of 2 or greater, and 13% of all hospitalizations had a comorbidity score of 3 or greater. These are not mutually exclusive groups. The patients with the group with the 45% has comorbidity score of 1 or greater can have 2 or 3 comorbidities. These are the number of discharges with each individual comorbidity condition, the percent of all discharges, and the percent of all comorbidities for each comorbid condition that was studied for this period. And that table is a little bit not so informative, so these numbers are presented in the next slides as graphs. When diabetes mellitus, diabetes was combined with it without complication, it was the leading comorbidity and accounted for 19% of all comorbidities. Or 90% of all hospitalizations in Mississippi have a coexisting diabetes. And if there is something that you can take out from my presentation, that is currently in every hospital in Mississippi, 1 out of 5 patients would have a diabetes. That's quite amazing. The next leading comorbidities were chronic pulmonary diseases with 12.9%, congestive heart failure 11%, and chronic renal disease, 9%. Chronic pulmonary disease includes COPD, but some other condition, that's why it's named chronic pulmonary disease, rather COPD. These are comorbidity patterns. This is the distribution of the different comorbidities without the within the comorbid conditions. Diabetes was accounting for 1/4 of all comorbidities. Again, chronic pulmonary disease and congestive heart failure were quite well distributed. Some of the demographic characteristics of the patients with comorbidity score of 1 or greater and between the patients with a comorbidity score of 0. Patients who had at least 1 comorbidity were older, 65%, 65 years versus 37 years. Gender, males were more likely than females to have a comorbidity score of 1 or greater. It's not clear why, but somebody suggested that just men don't go to see doctors that often until they get pretty sick. Race, another interesting finding is that Caucasians were slightly more likely than African Americans to have at least one comorbidity. The difference is very small, but here we have such a big population that even small difference in the numbers would be statistically significant, just because we don't work with sample here, we work with the entire population. So there are actual differences. Resource utilization, something that is interested for policymakers. The mean clinical stay was longer for patients with a comorbidity score of 1 or greater, over six days, where patients with our major comorbidity stayed for less than 5 days in a hospital. And you can see the huge difference in the charges between patients with comorbidity, fibrate charges, and patients without major comorbidities, over 10,000 difference. But you also can see how much, on average, a hospital hospitalization cost in Mississippi. And in Mississippi, it's lower than the rest in the country. Residence patterns, patients who resided residing in rural areas were more likely to have at least one comorbid diagnosis than patients who reside in metro areas. And the reason for that in Mississippi is that the rural areas don't really have much access to health care. In conclusion, this study demonstrated that nearly half of all Mississippi hospitalizations were associated with at least one comorbid diagnosis, that diabetes was a major comorbidity in the hospitalized population, and rural patients had higher comorbidity levels. Finally, this study underscored the utility of hospital discharge data as a valuable source of chronic disease data and chronic comorbidity data, and hopefully these findings could help our state to design new state initiatives that support the effective management and prevention of these complex conditions. Thank you. There were many challenges, and it's a very good question, because it was a lonely and difficult journey. Since when we received this data at the health department, nobody knew how to work with this data. But also, not many people trusted. They still don't trust this data. So it was a lot of hard work, but, you know, I also found out that, for example, the comorbidity index and the program, the computer program I used, I actually asked the researchers to send me the program, and they did. So you ask people who have already been there, and you know, I have found out that people do respond. Some don't, but the majority of the people do respond. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. I didn't have to invent this program or to create it, and I didn't know how. So somebody sent it to me, and I just adapted it and used it with our data. But there has been a big learning curve for me to learn how to use this data. And it's still, after all these years, it's still a learning curve. But using Coder's experience helps. You know, that is often quoted as a caveat of this data, that conditions that are paid more would be as a primary diagnosis rather than... And that's why this comorbidity study, it's important, or even if we just use all the diagnosis, because we don't have to deal with that. Because here we know that these conditions are not... So they just record it there. But I heard that. I think it's quite representative. I think at the end of the day, what it is this data is quite representative of what the actual health status of our population is. There will be things here and there, but it's not big. Yes?
There was a famous
the claim group. No, no. The Mississippi, and there are two types of hospital discharge data systems around the country. We have a state mandate, which means that the hospitals are required by law to submit their data to the health department. So they'll submit, they should submit all their data regardless of the payer. So it's not a payer-based data. So we have all the payers, and we, that's why we have also self-paid patients.
Is it still ICD-9?
Oh yes, it is still ICD-9. Hopefully it will change to ICD-10 recently. Yes.
Okay.